This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dan Pompey! Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey, you read him in The Athletic, The Bleacher Report. His name is writ in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, fellas. Good to be with you today.
Well, you know, we've been talking it through a little bit and talking about the combination of teams here that are left and, you know, obviously the top four offenses, but also the top four seeds. And do we draw a conclusion? Do you have to have a top offense to be a top seed? Do you have to have a top offense to be alive in this year's Super Bowl?
I don't think so. I think it's more of a coincidence. I think these are also, for the most part, four really good teams. You know, I mean, the Saints have a really good defense that showed up big last week. You know, I think the Patriots defense has come on late and helped them win a lot of games. Chiefs less so on defense, obviously. Rams have been a little streaky on defense, but they've answered the bell when they've had to, I think. So, you know, it's still a complete game, and I think, it's still about how many different ways you could beat a team, but certainly, you know, you've got explosive offenses. Are a factor, have been a factor all year long, and they're going to be a factor moving forward, not only in the next few weeks, but beyond that next year and the coming years.
Dan, we haven't talked to you since the Bears season-ending news conference the other day. What was your level of surprise that they opened the door to the possibility of signing Kareem Hunt, and how likely is it you think that Kareem Hunt plays in the NFL next year?
Well, you know, I think... I'm not surprised that they're interested in Kareem Hunt. I mean, if you were Matt Nagy, I think everyone in that position would be interested in him. Obviously, the decision to sign Kareem Hunt is not going to be just Matt Nagy's, though. It's going to be Ryan Pace's, and moreover, it's going to be an ownership decision that the Caskies have to sign off on. I do believe Kareem Hunt is going to be playing in the NFL at some point in the future. Next year, I'm not sure. I mean, we just really don't know how the whole thing is going to play out. And there's a lot of information we don't know. But, I mean, at some point, someone is going to feel comfortable enough to take a chance on him because he's got so much potential as a football player. And, you know, if assuming that he doesn't step in any more messes and he is able to convince the people in charge that he's going to do the right thing moving forward, and this was an isolated incident. But, you know, we've seen this happen over and over again. I know the times are changing a little bit, but he certainly wouldn't be the first guy to be forgiven for something like this. I mean, he's got a guy on his team who had a domestic violence accusation against him in Tyreek Hill, and there are other guys across the league. So, you know, this was a little more stark because there's video, and that's, as we found out in the Ray Rice case, that's a little bit more of a damning situation when you have that. But I think, you know, he's young enough and he's got enough in front of him that this is probably something that he can overcome if he plays his cards the right way and he is genuine about making a change in his life.
We were laughing at the idea that you came out of that news conference believing that Kareem Hunt had a better chance of being a Bear than Cody Parkey.
you know, it's interesting how that kind of got spun, but certainly, you know, I thought it was good to see them very clear-eyed about Cody Parkey and not to try to downplay what had happened or try to say, you know, Cody's still one of us and we're behind him. You know, all the cliches that you could say about something like that. I mean, I think it is very clear that they do need to move on, and it's bigger than just the one kick, but certainly the one kick was a part of it because, you know, that's going to leave a mark, not only on the team, but I think on the entire city. So that was good to hear.
The focus on the Hunt situation, I think, overshadowed the hiring of Chuck Pagano, which I think was a very good move. I know you're a supporter of Pagano and got to know him as well over the years, Dan. His status as defensive coordinator, I think, speaks for itself. He had success with the Ravens and certainly as a head coach with the Colts. But how do you feel about the Bears having five different, you know, defensive coaches now with a defense that was best in the league in terms of scoring? What effect, if any, do you think that'll have?
Yeah, it could, for sure. It depends on how different the coaches are from the ones who were here previously in terms of the techniques that they teach and what they stress and how they go about their day-to-day business. But, you know, the bottom line is you've got some really good football players there. And when you've got really good football players, you don't have to be the greatest position coach in history to bring out the best in them. The only thing that these coaches really have to do is not screw it up, because you've got something really good going. And really, I think the arrow is pointing up for the Bears defense. You still got a lot of young guys. You've got guys who have more potential than they played to last year. So, I think if I were a defensive coach, I'd love to come onto this team and be able to try to continue to bring out the best in a lot of these players, especially the young guys.
What do you make of what's going on in Green Bay, of Kobiak to Minnesota, of the changes that we've seen in the division?
I heard you guys talking a little bit earlier about, you know, would you rather take over Green Bay with Rodgers or the Bears with Trubisky, as Nagy did last year? I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how the chemistry develops between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. And I think it would probably be naive to think that it's not going to be a little awkward because, you know, here you've got this guy who some say is the greatest quarterback in history, and you've got a coach who's going to come in who's never done what he's doing before, and he's in his age category, and he's going to try to tell this guy what to do or how to do it, or tell him this is what you're not doing the right way. I mean, it's interesting. It's a little bit like 2006 when Mike McCarthy came into Green Bay and Brett Favre was the longtime starter. And, Favre that season had one of the worst years of his NFL career. The Bears shut him out in the opener, and it kind of went downhill from there. But now the next year, Favre had a really good year under McCarthy, and it was his last year in Green Bay before moving on to the Jets and the Vikings. I think the Packers are going to be a little bit of a wild card this year. Bottom line is, though, they still need more talent if they're going to be able to be one of the best teams in the league. I think, you know, more than anything with Green Bay, what happened is they really kind of eroded in terms of their roster, and that's what prevented them, as much as anything, from being at the top of the division this year. Vikings, you know, I would expect a bounce back year. I remain surprised that they kind of fell off at the end of the year the way they did and weren't as strong as a lot of us thought they were going to be all season long. I think they're a very talented team, and I think, you know, I think the coaching is good, and I think Kevin Stefanski is a good offensive mind who probably will bring out the best in Kirk Cousins, and it's not going to hurt to have Gary Kubiak there either.
Knowing Rodgers as well as you do, Dan, how coachable is he at this stage of his career, and could we be seeing the beginning of the end?
Well, you know, I think he's still got a lot of football, good football, in front of him because I think, physically he's there, and certainly we've seen guys his age, great players at his age, take their game even really to another level. So I wouldn't expect for him to fall off that way. I think it's more a matter of, finding the right comfort level with a new offense and with the players around him in order to continue to go where he wants to go. But I think the big thing is how he's going to mix with LaFleur. Obviously, at the end, he and Mike McCarthy didn't mix the way they were mixing earlier in their careers. So that's important. You know, you look at all the great quarterbacks who are playing at a high level, who are established stars, and I think they all have great chemistry with their offensive coaches. You know, Brady and Josh McDaniels, and Breeze and Sean Payton. We saw Peyton Manning, with Adam Gase at the end of his career. So, I mean, that's critical. And if it doesn't happen, then Aaron Rodgers probably won't play as well as a lot of people think he can play.
You think Kyler Murray's got NFL written on him, Dan?
What we've seen in the last few years with guys like Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield, I think this guy is going to have NFL written on him. Now, I don't know if he's going to be a success. These other guys had a little bit more size than he had, but someone's going to take a chance on him. I mean, even Lamar Jackson is a guy you could point to as just an out-of-the-box quarterback who really doesn't fit the mold, but had some success in Baltimore this year. Of course, we don't know where he's going either, what kind of career he's going to have. But I think there's a willingness by some teams to embrace something that's different. And there's also, at that position, there's also a desperation with teams who just don't have answers at the quarterback position that have to have something. So, I'd kind of be surprised if he were the first pick in the draft, but I think someone's gonna take a chance on him and see what happens.
All righty, Dan. Thank you, buddy. Who you taking this weekend?
Dan.
Who you think's gonna win?
I'm gonna go with the Patriots and the Saints. I really I have a hard time betting against Tom Brady in a game like this. And I know that
Arctic Blast.
The Chiefs have a lot going for them, but I think they're turning on at the right time, and the Saints are going to be a really tough out at home, I think. So,
everyone thinks we suck.
We'll
thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, guys.
That's Dan Pompey, The Athletic and Bleacher Report.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.